This is RSBNB Update, episode 514, recorded Friday, April 24th, 2015. That f***ing aquarium.
Hi, everyone, and thank you for joining us for RSBNB Update, or our spending update, as Google Voice likes to call it from time to time. This week, Reed is back. You needed a bit of a refresher last week after an incredibly busy week and, you know, just not doing well. Eh?
Mm. Okay. Yeah. Well. And apparently... something happened last week. We just skip pre-show now. So, alright. Yeah. We're jumping right in, guys.
Yeah, we are.
Totally unprepared. Let's do it.
Well, this is almost there. Because remember we said we were going to do RSBNB Update freestyle without any notes, but we haven't done that yet.
Alright. DJ Trekkie.
Yes, Trekkie is here this week.
Are you going to drop a beat? Is that how that works? Please don't do that, actually. I changed my mind.
Anyways, welcome back, Trekkie. Been a while since we've seen you.
Yes.
And you are here because you are someone we know that has level 99 fishing to talk about this very fishy update known as the aquarium for the player own house.
I was wondering why we brought him back.
It sure wasn't for my good sounding voice.
No, nor aww, nor your hardware, contemporary Asian language lingo going on in the background. But anyways,
what does that even mean? I don't think you just spoke real sentences, Shane.
Oh, I did. I mean, contemporary Asian lingo. You know, like.
I mean, technically, all of those are words, but I don't think put together those are real.
Anyways, what do you say we get down to the aquarium?
Aye. Let's do it.
How do you feel about this update there, Earth?
Well.
He hates it.
I think anyone who has listened to the show before knows my opinion on this aquarium.
Right.
So,
and you don't necessarily feel you need to state it again, but if you wanted to, I would have no problem
with that. I hate it.
Alrighty, so there you go.
Now,
let's talk a bit about the way this aquarium works. It's a level 63 construction room that costs 200,000 GP to build. It can go on the main floor only, but for some reason it's got an instanced aquatic part that's underneath. And, you know, you don't necessarily need to have a free space below it. As in, I have the aquarium sitting on the ground floor, but below that I have a dungeon kitchen. So for some reason my dungeon kitchen and the aquarium are overlapping.
Why do you have a kitchen in your dungeon?
For training.
He's making math.
In your dungeon?
Yeah.
He makes math.
I was making oak benches once upon a time, and it was easier to do in my kitchen because I had gold-leafed ones in my upstairs kitchen that I didn't want to get rid of.
Oh, this is just like that room off in the side. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, just a spare room for training and, you know.
I got you.
Making weird stuff happen. So, anyways, it's a four-door room, can go anywhere on the ground floor, which, I mean, I kind of thought it should have been a room that took two floors up, but given we haven't had that before, to me that seems as though that's not within the capabilities.
We have, sort of, the throne room and the, however the hell you say the thing below it.
Pit? Oblette?
Oblette, that shit thing.
I think that's a French word.
You're a French word.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Si, señor. No, that's Spanish, I'm sorry. But anyways.
Ah!
I mean, merci beaucoup, oui. Oui, oui. Très bien.
Dear God.
So, as you can tell, I'm delaying here because I don't exactly want to have to do much editing on this. So, anyways, we already got Reed's opinion. Trekkie, what do you think?
Just go. Take it. I will be quiet.
What do you think, Trekkie?
What I think?
Yes.
I like it.
Okay.
Hey, it's you know, for me, it's cool. I get to go in the water and catch some get some seaweed, bring it back up, make some sushi, feed myself, and go tickle all the fishy that I can catch.
Right.
Did you say tickle?
Yeah, did you say tickle?
Yeah, tickle.
What?
Yeah, what? Tickle. I'm sorry.
Don't you remember that episode where Data was under the lake and was tickling all the fish
no,
that were walking past?
No one knows what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. That was Star Trek Insurrection. But anyways, I missed that one as well. But anyways, inside the aquarium room itself on the main floor, there's a number of hot spots, including the centerpiece wall, the diving suit, a supply place, the prawn broker, and the fish head. And of course, the bathysphere.
Fish heads.
Yeah, the fish head.
You don't want to get more heads? Head.
I believe that was you that initially brought that up with construction. Anyways.
Yeah, that's a throwback to what? 1990s? No.
About 2007? Yeah, and it sounds like there's some Chinese people engaging in martial arts behind you there.
Yeah, they're getting murdered.
Have you insulted their honor, Drake?
It's because he used the wrong kind of fish that they only want their fish being a certain way.
I don't get it.
He didn't cook their fish right.
And?
That's all. I'm sorry. Anyways.
I don't get it.
The centerpiece and the supply are largely cosmetic, as is the fish head. And then, of course, if you have the prawn broker, you unlock various things as you upgrade from the driftwood to the flotsam to the boutique. And same thing goes for the diving suits. You have the standard oyster hunter suit, the mermaid hunter suit, and the salvage hunter suit. Each one of these are required for various pieces that you can get that go underneath in the actual aquarium itself. Now, finishing out the room on top is a fairly simple thing to do, I want to say. You can pretty much go fish at any spot, and within a couple hours you have enough of the gear to build out the entire thing. Or you can find someone who is generous enough on the official forums and trade with them, because these pieces are actually tradable. And that's what I did for about 20k. I got all the pieces I need to finish everything out. And I have the surface level completely finished out to maximum. Now, with that being said, we go underneath to the bathysphere. And this, I think, is one area for me where this update shines. And that is that this is a totally new way of designing rooms for construction, and something that, you know, we could hope for later on in future construction updates. Because basically, you get a top-down view of what your aquarium is going to look like. Then you have a menu on the right where you can choose what you want to place, whether it be a kelp, a seaweed, a coral, or a castle, or, you know, an oyster shell. And then you just place them down, and that's the simple way of doing it, which I really like. This is one thing I think that we could see lots of in the future for any construction updates when they do eventually come. So, what do you think?
Construction updates.
Yeah, I got something to say on that in a bit, and but we'll hold off on that. What do you think about the design aspect, Trekkie?
Design aspect. I didn't care. I was just placing stuff all over to see what would happen. But some things I didn't like was, as you're putting down the ships or whatever, you know, have a little arrow that points in its general direction, but it doesn't really do it justice. I think they should have made it a little bit bigger, at least with the screen. It's fairly small when you're looking at it.
Another thing you can do that I didn't realize until the second or third time I was through designing it is that you can right-click on the objects and choose rotate clockwise or counterclockwise.
Yeah, I did that too, but they have arrows that point in certain directions, but it doesn't really do much of anything. I can't go in there. I can't explore my little sucking treasure chip, sucking treasure ship and or whatnot. So it's just there. I can't go walk on it. I can't walk through it. I just can only go around it and then go back up.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk a bit about what we can actually put in the aquarium. There's a whole boatload of cosmetic items, aside from fish, including anchors, coral, boots, pots, rocks, ship bow, stern, castle, you name it. A whole bunch of cosmetic things like that that can go in there. Then there's also the reward hotspots, including seaweed, kelp, oysters, and the mermaid's purse.
Mermaid's purse.
Yeah, the mermaid's purse gives you 20 teak or mahogany planks once per week. So you unlock the mermaid's purse through fishing, as you do with everything else. Same with the fish eggs. And
caviar?
Well, I mean, that's an interesting point, because fish eggs, caviar, same thing. But treasure chests, one elite clue scroll per week. Now this, a part of this update, is something I take issue with, because as it is right now, unless you're doing high-level Slayer or, you know, doing enough Slayer tasks, it is still hard to find an elite-level clue. Would you guys agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah. And, I mean, one free one a week, I don't think I like the sounds of that. It seems a little too much. So that's issue number one with this update for me, is the free clue scrolls. You can also, of course, get monuments that increase your fishing XP in certain areas by 2%. For Catherby, the Living Rock Cavern, Piscatoris, the Fishing Guild, Shiloh Village, and Otto's Grotto. Each of them has an appropriate thing that you get through unlocking them. White Wolf Mountain is Catherby, Virago is the Living Rock Cavern, Sea Troll Egg is Piscatoris, and Shiloh Village is the Fishing Mask, or the Tribal Mask, sorry. Well, the Fishing Guild is the Fishing Guild Banner. So you can have those as well. And finally, we have plugs. So once you unlock everything for Tier 1, well, you open a plug, the aquarium drains itself, and you start all over again. Trekkie, were you able to get the entire phase one done and prestige it, or no?
I did not. I've been working all week, and I really had the time to go through them. So I haven't pulled the plug or anything yet.
Yeah, I haven't pulled the plug
either. I would pull the plug if I...
I knew you were going to say
that. You never liked me anyway.
You used it just so I would make that joke, didn't you, Shane?
Maybe.
You sly dog, you.
But it is also a valid piece of this update, so might as well, right?
I suppose.
Anyways, so each time you... I'm sorry, I was going to talk about prestige. We'll talk about prestige first. So each time you pull the plug, you... start over, and you can do this 7 times.
And each all right, time and what benefit does this get you?
Well,
you can make sushi.
Yeah, at the top level, you can make sushi. But basically what happens is as you fish, you unlock points, so to speak. what are they called? What's the exact name? I'm drawing a blank on what the actual... name is of the currency that you spend with the prawn broker, but you unlock these points and then you can purchase different perks at each prestige. So for example, the tier one perk is no bait fishing for anything that needs bait, or
holy shit,
yeah, or a free landmark of your choice.
Prawn coins is literally the name of it.
Thank
or
you.
Golden fish eggs.
Yay, golden fishies. Greater chance of receiving prawn balls and 10 prawn pennies. Those are all tier 1 perks that you can select with your prawn coin. Tier 2 is a golden mystery egg that you can get where you'll receive, you know, just an egg for a fish that you don't have. Tier 3, greater chance of receiving prawn balls. Fly fishing without feathers at tier 3. Prawn pennies and prawn pounds last 2 times as long. And 3 diving suit cosmetic overrides for the surface. Tier 4 is a free golden prawn cracker, which does have a certain percentage of giving you a golden egg of a type that you don't have. Some tier 5 perks are greater chance of receiving the prawn balls, barbarian fishing without bait or feathers, the great white shark pet, and the great white shark in your aquarium, and the ability to fish great white sharks.
Hmm.
And finally, at tier 6, the ability to make sushi.
Can we bring the sharks to the Super Bowl, Reed?
No, thank you.
Why? Didn't you ever have a teenage dream?
Didn't I ever have a teenage dream?
Oh, yeah. Right. You guys are talking about the sharks that were out of sync at the Super Bowl.
What? Oh, right. I get it. That's a Katy Perry song. Ha.
About sharks?
Ha.
No.
Ha.
Oh, right. So, as you can see, there is reason for pulling the plug on your aquarium, aside from, you know, just pulling the plug. This does contribute into some of the problems with this update, which is what I would like to talk about now, if nobody has any objections. Because I think we've covered pretty much everything there is as to, you know, how to get the aquarium, you know, from the golden fish eggs to the cosmetic rewards and whatnot.
Take it away, Shane.
All right, so this is the part of the update you're going to like, because we're talking about problems with the aquarium.
Oh, boy.
Yes. First thing that initially jumped out to me when setting this up is it really reinforces the fact how old construction is. Because construction came out in 2006. People were supposed to have house parties and whatnot. That fizzled after a while. Right now, construction homes are mainly used for, well, 2 things, training prayer and storing pets, when you think about it. Maybe some teleports if you don't have runes, I mean. But this update really shows how old construction is with, you know, the fact that we see this new way of laying out a room, an aquarium per se, and we can't do that with anything else in our house. So part of me feels that this aquarium update, you know, could have had its time better spent into a wider construction update that brought many of the quality of life fixes with the aquarium to other places in the house. So, rather than, you know, just putting in one single new room, let's fix up the entire house and give you that construction update that you want.
Yay!
Another issue I have with this is that, you know, beyond your final prestige, there's going to be limited use for the aquarium aside from coming back for your weekly clue and planks, which, I mean, that's really stupid when you think about it, because that's just reinforcing the idea of how useless and how old construction is. So, I mean, that is one thing that definitely, I think, needs to be fixed in this case is...
But you get free stuff.
I know, but rather than compounding the problem, why not make it better? It just makes no sense to me.
Just give them free stuff and they'll be happy.
I'm happy with free stuff.
And see, that's the general issue with most of what's going on with, you know, the players these days. Anyways, continuing on with another couple of issues I have is this is an update, in my view, that really caters towards those XP hugs. You know, the people who play RS, you know, to get the most XP, get the most levels, complete everything, that sort of thing, and not necessarily experience what is in the game. It's just catering towards the whole negative sentiment of what the problem with the community is currently, that there's not a community around. Everything is focused on leveling, XP, completing, etc. This update reinforces that. I think that's the worst reason.
How so?
Well, I mean, people want to get their sushi and whatnot, so they're just going to go and they're going to complete the aquarium, and then once it's done, they're going to say, "Ah, I did it. It's done." They're not doing it.
Isn't that the point of every piece of content?
Well, no, it shouldn't be. It should be to get enjoyment out of it. I mean,
I guess.
A quest. You and I play a quest for the storyline, correct?
Yes.
But you have people who complete quests just to complete them, mark it off, and, you know, have their completionist cape, right? Who don't care about the story. And it's those kind of people that this update is catered towards, I think.
All right.
And I don't think that's what we need. We need a useful construction skill. And all these points tying together that this doesn't add to the usefulness of construction. I mean, it just makes no sense to that case.
What was the usefulness of construction before? What changed?
Well, back when construction came out, people actually interacted with each other, had dueling matches, house parties, and the like.
Well, it's not construction that changed, it's the community.
Yeah. And I think that...
It's different.
Because the community is different, the usefulness of construction has waned, so...
That's fair.
Should have been catered, you know, to try and reinvigorate some of what used to exist in the community.
That's fair.
And I mean, as a result, I can really only give the aquarium a 2 out of 5. I mean, it's graphically nice. I enjoy putting some fish down there and everything like that. But beyond that, it has no real use to me, and it doesn't, you know, enhance the usefulness of construction or enhance the community as a whole. So 2 out of 5 for me.
I refuse to rate it.
All right. Your rating.
I'll give it a 3.
All right.
Cool. I like my little fishies.
I'll probably actually check it out in a couple of weeks after. Is it buggy?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
I will check it out.
But considering when I have a full shark suit and I can go catch rock tails, I'm going to be down there for a while.
Well, I will come back next week with a hopefully revised viewpoint of this.
You don't have to.
No, I'm going to, because I haven't had time to do anything this week, so I did not adequately prepare.
But I mean, it just feels useless, and...
Well, I will be the judge of that, sir.
All right. Play your own house designer has been updated, so you can plan your house where your aquarium's gonna go. That was good fun this week.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I found a bug that was 4 years old.
Classic.
Really funny one. Yeah, but I won't go into what it was here, because it was kind of, you had to be there and you had to see the code and watch it click in my head to laugh and then facepalm.
It wasn't fun.
Alrighty, so tweaks and fixes for this week. I'm just going to start and bang off a couple of them here. You can now enable timestamps for chat messages, local timestamps.
Me. Never really helped. Yay. No one talks in RS anymore.
Actually, I really like that.
Yeah, me too, because, you know, you're sitting in friends chat or clan chat, and you're there for a short while, and there's no talk, and you miss a message, and you don't know whether it was from, like, 30 seconds ago or 6 minutes ago. It's hard to tell, so that is indeed good. Long time coming for that, and it's worth noting that this was a ninja fix submitted to Rune Labs.
Oh, good.
The accuracy and defense buffs of Sap, Leech, Turmoil, Anguish, and Torment have been made stronger. That's cool. Good, I think. Because I don't know about you guys, but did it ever feel as though that the debuffs that these prayers imparted was actually useful?
Honestly,
I just
never
really
got made much of a difference. So never made much of a difference for me. And usually I use curses, so usually for me it's turmoil. So
yeah,
that's about it.
Well, I mean, anytime you can debuff an enemy, that's good. I'll have to time it and see how much it speeds the QBD trips up, because I do use turmoil there. Background of player stat adjustments has been made transparent according to people's wants. And players can now cut oak, willow, maple, yew, magic, and elder logs into increasing quantities of arrow shafts. Used to be 15, so that was made faster.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, who makes arrows anymore these days, eh?
Somebody has to make arrows.
Yeah, where do you think we get all of them from, Shane?
The magical, mystical land of the drop tables of Mod Timbo.
Mm-hmm.
Since I believe he does the balancing, and he would be in charge of that.
Oi.
I.
Anything on the patch notes that's jumping out at you guys?
I got nothing here.
You read?
Not really. I mean, kind of a boring week.
Moving on. We have a Solomon store updating named the Vitality Suit, which changes colors based on the amount of life points that you have. I think that's an interesting mechanic. Being able to, you know, change your color, your suit, based on what's going on in terms of your
that's
life points.
Cool.
Yeah, and I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing more items that do this in the future.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, you could have something that's very red, like a helmet that's very red when you're near death, or a calm blue, you know, color when you're fine. So I'd like to see more of this in the future, so that's why I'm mentioning it. And I'd also like to state that the cute bunny emote is currently free for this month.
Oh, boy.
Alrighty. Well, coming next week to RuneScape is the EOC and Legacy mashup. Out of the beta servers. Fingers crossed that it's done.
That sounds... I'm terrified.
Well, I mean, it was playable when I tested it on the beta server. There were some usability issues, I think, but I'll have to take another cruise through the beta server this weekend and see what it's like, because as we all know, combat beta, two words that when you put in Jagex's context, you know, never turn out right. So I hope this one will be okay. Fingers crossed. And also the RuneScape road trip will be coming back for May next Friday. And looks like Dave is on the picture here again.
Oh, God. Is it the monkey?
No, he's got
the
something else.
Again.
He's got something else on his shoulder this time.
Mm-hmm.
It's rather amusing, but we'll have to see what that turns out to be. But anyways, that's it for RS News this week, everyone. Hopefully you have enjoyed that. Anything else before we go talk to someone?
Who are you talking to?
Oh, no. No! No!
We're going to go talk to Paul. Yes.
No.
Don't worry. He makes it a quickie this week. He only talks for about a minute and 40 seconds.
Oh, God. But that's like 6 hours.
This week he's going to be talking about switching worlds and how to do that optimally. And then, well, I'll let him talk.
See you guys in a few days.
Hello, this is SilverWiz9, PFK99s from RSBNB. This is the RuneScape Nino series where we take a look at features you may have missed or forgotten. Either way, we hope you learned something useful. Last time we looked at the Wicked Hood, and this week we'll be looking at world switching. World switching is a very common task to do if you're killing monsters, skilling undepletable resource, trying to accomplish a daily task, or if you're visiting a friend. I'm sure this view is a very common view to you. In the lobby, at the world select screen. Tons of choices, very easy to use. But let's say you're already in there. You're already in-game, rather. And you don't really want to come back out to the world select screen. That's a lobby thing. That's right when you log in. You don't want to do that. So what can you do? Well, if you have your friends list open, you can click on their name and say join. This will bring you to their world in the same spot that you were already standing. It's not going to bring you to them if you're not in the same spot. Now, if you're bossing or something, this is incredibly useful, and apparently it also switches your game mode, so now I'm in Legacy. But what if you don't have a friend who you want to visit? You want to go just hopping between worlds, maybe mining rune or adamantite somewhere. So what do you do? Easy. go back to that world select screen, the escape menu, the options menu, and say hop worlds. Now you can see where you're at, you can even see your favorites, and you can just switch. Easy as that. It should perform exactly the same way, except you don't need a friend to do it. No one needs to be online, no one needs to be in the place you want to be, it just works. So, for whatever reason you want to not be in the world you're in, get out there and world hop. Again, I am SilverWiz9, PFK99 from RSBNB. I'll see you next week.
Alright, we're back. Thank you, Paul, for that one. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed that. You can find more of those and other goodness at youtube.com/RSBNBstaff. Okay, so questions.
Alright, Trekkie, you can take the first one.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I'll take the middle two, and Shane can take the last one.
All right, question from Thieves. Question from a new guy. With Earth Node that enjoying the aquarium update, I was wondering if there was ever could be an update where that would actually be a step too far. What kind of update could make you quit RS? Also, I'm from Wales, where our culture and language have been used to model the elven culture and language of RuneScape. I was wondering if there was any examples of your own culture in that game that I may have missed. Thanks, and love the show. Thieves.
That's a tough one.
I know what would make Shane quit.
What's that?
Bring back RuneScape Classic as mainstream.
Well, I mean, RuneScape Classic, that might be interesting. I don't know about other variations, but I don't think they would do that. But, you okay?
No.
Uh-oh.
I'm okay.
Rip I'm okay. Splints.
Okay.
Anyway, speaking in realistic terms, it would have to be something very drastic that wasn't fully explained out, or it was done purely because the community felt it was a good thing to do, and it was still on a
drastic
level.
Why are you still playing RS if that's your thing?
But providing it was one of those cases, and Jagex wasn't able to explain away why they were doing it, that would probably fill the case. I mean, basically, if they ultimately caved and, you know, failed to explain themselves behind what they were doing. But at the end of the day, I have full confidence in the development team, per se, and their guidance of the updates. You guys?
Meh. I'll just stop playing RS when I feel like I need to stop playing RS.
Yeah, probably. I'm with Trekkie there. There's not really one thing I can think of, nor do I want to say one, because then they're going to do that.
And, I mean, to be fair, RS is in a pretty good position compared to other games out there, and it's not plagued with microtransactions. Things aren't broken up the wazoo, so I think we're in a good position so far. So references to American and Canadian culture in RS.
Let's see.
I mean, Thanksgiving.
Okay.
I feel like that's kind of cheating, though.
Easter egg. Let's see.
I can't really. I mean, Trekkie's got all of the Eastern lands.
That is true. That is true.
Yeah.
Though you're Chinese, not Japanese. And
they're all the same thing.
Hey.
Just like all those Europeans are the same.
Let's see. Well, we got the Snow Queen, which basically is every Asian woman I've ever met.
What?
Damn.
Yeah, because no matter what happens, no matter how hot it could be, they're always freezing with like 3 sweaters, 2 scarves, and mittens, boots, and leggings and earmuffs.
Leggings
they're still
aren't
freezing.
Pants, by the way, not pants.
Yeah, but then they put leggings over whatever pants they're wearing. And it's like,
okay.
Yeah, I'm in a t-shirt sweating and they're still freezing. How could you guys be freezing?
Fascinating.
It's the Asian girl syndrome.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see anything outright Canadian in RS, so I'm going to have to say that.
They did the snowboarding thing during the Christmas.
Yeah, well, anyone who has snow can go snowboarding. I mean, in Europe, in the U.S., Canada, U.K., well, maybe not in the U.K., but...
Yeah, but Canadians, you guys have winter 24/7, 365 days a year.
That is true. You can go skiing from October through May in the mountains, actually. So, but anyways. Yeah, I can't think of anything. Anyways, great questions, Thieves. Thank you. And thank you for loving the show so much.
It's because of me. Question from Brian. Who sucks? What's your Windows 8 color?
Don't have
gray.
Windows 8.
Okay.
I mean, I'll go with the...
So you just use gray.
Yeah, one sec.
Okay.
There.
Ah, thank you. Oh, okay. Well, for me, on the main colors, I use a tealish green, I guess you could say. I don't know. What color green would you call the color?
I'm not a woman. I don't know. If it's green, it's green. There's none of this lime green bullshit. It's green. I'll go as far as blue green or something like that. Magenta, some shit. No, that's all made up.
All
it's
right.
Green, Shane. If it's green, it's green.
Okay, sounds good to me. For the taskbar, I just let the taskbar and Windows color themselves based on whatever wallpaper I'm using, though I do set the colors and the accent color for the Xbox and the Microsoft. Actually, what colors do you use on your Xbox and on your Windows phone?
Red on my phone and I think gray on my Xbox as well.
All right. Well, Trekkie doesn't have Windows 8 or anything that has color on it, so thank you, Brian. Interesting question.
Anything with color on it? Really?
Yeah.
So I guess I'm colorblind.
Well, that would be pretty bad. Anyways. Next one.
This question is from Dwarf Hat. Dear lovely hosts, what are your worst RS memories? Thanks so much, Dwarf for a Hat 1. Shane.
My worst RS memories would have to be... First thing that comes into mind would be back in early... or late 2004, rather, I actually got hacked once, believe it or not, and lost practically everything.
Really?
Yeah, it's a violation, you know, to feel something like that and just see everything gone. It's like, oh, I have to start over. I mean, it couldn't have been that much, probably 500, 700K worth back in the day, way back when, but that was a lot of money then. So that would have to be one of them. Another bad RS memory, I guess you could say, would be either when the decision to remove the wilderness came or add the wilderness back, because those were very polarizing decisions at the time. Removing the wilderness was quite draconian in that it actually removed all free trade. And this happened a few weeks before Christmas, so it really limited the ability to give Christmas gifts. So... yeah, let's go with that one for
we pay, second. We PK.
Right, and in World 66?
Yay. My worst one. Well, never been hacked. I don't know. Nothing really unfortunate has happened to me. I can't really think of anything.
Yeah, I don't know. See,
I don't know.
I mean, unless you have something drastic come to you, it's kind of hard to quantify.
Yeah, like I mean, I've never like died and lost everything. I've always been really careful about that.
Same here.
I guess the worst RS memory would be Nomad.
Oh God.
I mean that one. That was difficult.
Yeah, that was.
So I guess that will be it.
Yeah, I killed Nomad on Lucky Try 13, so I guess I could throw that in there as well. Monkey Madness was also really hard back in the day.
I did fine with it. Yeah, it was all ranging, so just put on ranging gear, a bunch of sharks, and I'd just run around. That's what I did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was fine for me. I did it on the first try. I even helped Lance out way back when because he was trying to use lobster. I said, no, take my sharks. And I gave him like, 100 sharks for him to use. He survived the bout with them. For me, I did get hacked once. But this was back in the day when RuneScape Classic and RuneScape 2 were still sharing the same account. So kind of go back and forth. And, you know, before we knew anything about internet security or whatnot, apparently someone got access into my dad's computer. I don't know if either I downloaded something way back when or something happened way back when. But anyway, they got in. But all I did was lock myself between two spider webs and drop all their lobster certs.
There's a memory. For anyone who never played RS Classic, you could only have notes for ore, fish, and wood through the certers, Niles, Miles, and Giles.
And it took a long time to set them all, too. Doing that was a chore in itself.
One load at a time.
Yep, and one of the dumb things I did, right when I got membership in RuneScape Classic, you know, I remember back in the day, if you just got the love for teleport, you could teleport, but if it fails, you cannot teleport another 20 seconds.
No, I don't remember that.
It was, if you just like, you know,
was
you
this
were
RS2 to... or RS Classic?
Classic.
It's classic.
Ah.
Well, if you, like, let's say you just got the level to teleport to Varrock, once in a while, it could actually fail if you don't have a good magic boost. And if it fails, you couldn't teleport for 20 seconds. Well, at the time, I wanted to duel somebody so I can just get a free trip back to Lumbridge. But what happened was nobody was here to duel me. So I unequipped all my rune gear and fought a paladin because I failed my teleport 3 times in a row. So anyway, I didn't fail my teleport yet. I was just going to fight a paladin and, you know, I sent back to Lumbridge. I get back to Lumbridge like, oh, where's my stuff? Like, oops. So, of course, I run to the bank, which at this time is in Ardonye. I mean, not Ardonye, Alcahar, to try and teleport back to Ardonye. But I failed 3 times. By the time I got there, only thing left in there was my sleeping bag.
Aww.
And that was it. My sleeping bag and the bones.
Okay. One thing that I did is I once tried to teleport with those vials in Plague City, and I broke them and had to walk all the way there from Ardoyan all the way to Varrock. I know, that was so far back in the day, but you can run there in practically 2 minutes now. So this is before all the... Yeah, remember... Back in the olden days of RS2, run energy would run out far, far quicker than it does now.
I guess.
Yeah. Alrighty, that question was from Dwarf for a Hat 1. And the next one is from Hollow Heart. Hello, Shay. You appear to be an avid Mac user. and I have a couple of questions regarding RS3 graphics settings. I'm currently running a late 2013-based iMac model. Always run into lag / graphic stutter when playing RS3 on 10.10.3. Currently, I boot camp into Windows 7 and experience no issues using DirectX. Is there anything I can do to improve graphics performance using OS 10? Using the client or browser doesn't seem to have an effect, and I know it isn't hardware since the game runs fine on Windows 7. Also, do you play RS3 on a Mac? If so, what are the specs of your machine and how is the performance? Thanks, and keep the podcasts coming. So if I recall, the late 2013 iMac is using NVIDIA graphics, or Intel graphics, depending on what model you got. And this is indeed the problem with OS X and RuneScape. OpenGL performance on OS X has always been bad. The only place on OS X that OpenGL performance for running RS and the like has been good is if you have an AMD graphics card, which Apple unfortunately stopped using a couple years ago. So there is really not much that you can do to improve the performance of the OS X performance of your Mac, mainly because you're limited based on the OpenGL drivers that Apple writes for you. If you're not doing anything too strenuous and you're not willing, or if you're able to, you know, take a little bit of a risk, you might try the Chrome HTML5 client. I actually had some good results running that on non-AMD graphics on my MacBook, so you could try that as an option. But we're pretty much holding out and waiting for increased performance with the new RS client whenever that comes later this year. So if performance is really important to you for RS, I hate to break it to you, but Windows is the best you can do with an NVIDIA-based iMac. So, and with regards to my performance, my AMD graphics card can run it at about 50 FPS, goes down to about 30 in hectic areas, which is actually fine. And it is one of the iMacs from 2011 with the 6970 in it. So there's the specification for you. I'm sorry, I really wish I could provide more info on why the performance is so bad and offer a solution, but there's just nothing that, you know, we can do. I've looked into a whole myriad of things from trying to run RS on Wine in the Mac to, you know, trying different versions of the Java client, whether it be client or in the browser. So there's really nothing that can be done to improve performance, unfortunately. And I've been struggling with this since about 2007. So it is indeed a problem. And that question was from Hollow Heart.
And
yeah, you guys probably don't have anything to say on that because you're not Mac users.
No, I stopped Mac. Listening.
Alrighty. Well, you if stopped? Anybody wants to...
I didn't even start.
Oh, boy. If anyone wants to send questions in, you can do that. The topic goes up every Monday, and you can just head on over to update.rsbnb.com/ask to ask your questions on our forums. We also have the email address where you can email the audio questions. They go to questions@rsbnb.com. Also have Skype, RSBNB Update, and the Google Voice number, 571-572-2632. We look forward to hearing your audio questions, and remember that if we get 5 audio questions in any given week, the following week will be a live show. So keep that in mind, send those audio questions in, and if we get there, if you and your friends raise a campaign to get the 5 audio questions in, we will have that live show. And live shows are always fun, aren't they?
Woo! You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen.
And usually ends up with a lot of beeping afterwards.
Yeah, and that's one reason why you should should come listen to live shows when we have them.
Mm. Okay.
Alrighty. Sounds good to me. Let's move on to tech news then. So, this week, Google unveiled something called Project Phi. which is basically their way of ensuring constant connectivity wherever you go. So let's say you're at home.
Now, your device... is the previous stage of this project fee? Will the next one be Project Faux?
Nah.
That's from Jake and the Beanstalk, right?
Jake and the Beanstalk, Shane?
Yeah?
Jack?
You know how long since he's even heard of those things? He hasn't heard of those since he was a wee lad.
Well, Jake and Jack, the name's almost the same, so we'll just consider them interchangeable.
No, they're not.
All right, Jack.
So, anyways, basically, what we're aiming to do with this is if you're at home, chances are your Wi-Fi network will be the strongest connection you can have, but if you're elsewhere, it might be your cellular network. If it's somewhere else, it might be someone else's cellular network. So what the idea is behind this is a partnership between Google and the carriers to basically say that if you're somewhere, let's give this person the best connection that they can get in order to, you know, be able to do whatever they want to do on the internet. Google says they believe it's some kind of human right to have connection. I don't know how internet connectivity is a human right, but we'll talk about that probably at the end
it's
of the year.
It's an expanding world, Shane. Come on.
And they already have their idea of using satellites as a, you know, Wi-Fi hotspot for like remote areas of the world.
Those are hot air balloons, actually, but yeah.
You're a hot air balloon.
Oh, thank you. I know I have lots of hot air, and that's what people like listening to.
Is
no,
it?
They don't.
I think so.
That's why I bring a needle every week, Shane. And I'm not shooting up, so.
Boy. All right. Mm. So you might be wherever you are. This technology.
I might be wherever I am.
Yeah, you might be wherever you are, and you might be on Wi-Fi, you might be on 4G, you might be on AT&T or Verizon, and the goal is just to provide you with the best connection, and this will be coming out with the Nexus 6 through an early access program. Now, here's the cost. You ready for this?
Okay.
For $20 a month, you get talk, text, Wi-Fi tethering, and international coverage. Then it's a flat $10 per gigabyte of cellular data while in the U.S. and abroad.
Cool.
1 gig is $10 a month. 2 gigs is $20, $3, $30, and so on.
I
use that almost. I can use 6 gigs in a month, easy.
Yeah.
Well, what are you paying for your plan right now? I know mine's $100 a month.
Yeah, and I mean, if we'd be looking at $70 a month with this if you were using 5 gigs plus the initial $20, you know, connection fee.
Why not just give me unlimited data and be done with it?
Well, AT&T tried that back in the day with the iPhones.
I still have that.
Yes, you lucky bastard.
I lost my unlimited Verizon.
I wonder if AT&T knew they'd be grandfathering people like you into LTE unlimited.
Verizon did. That's why they got
rid
of it.
Well, they made the choice to. They could have not.
Yeah, that's...
So, yes.
That's very lucky. That's very lucky.
I missed...
But there is an upshot to this. So let's say you pay for $30 and you only use 1.4, you'll get $16 back.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if I really want
to give more
money
plan,
to Google.
I'll get unlimited money back.
Awesome. Right?
That's awesome.
Yeah, but, well,
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think there would be an unlimited thing with this. So.
I don't know. For me... I think Google's already taken over most of my world, so it's like, do I want to give them more of my personal information and my money?
You know, I actually had a thought about this today as well after reading our next tech news story.
What?
The next.
You want to do that? Read the tech news first before we go into it?
No, unless you guys have anything else on Project Fi.
No, looks neat.
I know
Google's taking over.
My only
Google's already taken over my life.
Is that it is for the Nexus 6 only.
Hmm.
Okay. That's a Google phone, so I understand why.
Yeah, but I mean, iPhone users, Windows phone users, not going to be able to get.
Why can't I have iCloud on another device?
Yep.
Because it's not theirs. It's.
Now, with that being said, Apple does a pretty good job of the iCloud client on Windows.
Didn't know it existed.
Yep, I'll give you a tour later if you like.
No thanks, I'm free of that ecosystem, so you can kindly shove it, as it were. Mm.
All right.
I like my
Droid.
You
need to keep your head in the clouds, Shane.
Yep. Right up back to the iCloud mothership, right? That made me laugh earlier today when you posted that, but anyways.
That's an inside joke. Don't worry about that, dear listeners.
Yes. So next up, Google adds mobile friendliness to its search criteria. This Tuesday, some pages will be ranked differently based on how they work on mobile. So if a phone, you know, really doesn't display an article well on its browser, well, Google might decide, okay, you don't get rated as high as other sites do because you don't work on mobile. This is something we knew was coming for a while. What do we think of this now that it's actually here?
Time to make RSBNB mobile friendly.
Well,
I find RSBNB pretty mobile friendly compared to other sites.
Yeah, it actually
Shane
is.
Doesn't have the,
believe it or not.
At least Shane doesn't at least Shane's site doesn't have the annoying video starter that you once you go into it, it starts a video and pop up flying.
Oh yeah, we tried that once way back in the day when we were putting ads on RSBNB and we got yelled at by the users. So those ads were not intended to initially be there, but we got rid of them very quickly. But anyways,
good on you.
Things that will be docked: displaying links that are hard to click on or forcing users to scroll horizontally on a lopsided website. In addition, certain information contained within apps as a ranking feature for mobile searches performed on phones that run Android. So it's partially Android and partially the Google search. So, I mean, you guys think this is needed?
Yes.
Okay. Though maybe it's just the websites I go to, but I don't really have any problem ever reading mobile websites on my phone. Or reading websites on my phone.
How much do you do, though? I mean, do you use your phone for researching things?
No,
like,
because
out and about?
The screen is too small for that.
Yeah, like mine, when I was helping set up sound at the new theater, I was on my phone looking up the soundboard and all of that stuff and trying to figure out what the hell was going on. And the websites were terrible.
Yeah. Okay.
At least my Windows phone can handle PDFs.
Oh, yeah, we can handle PDFs on iOS as well.
My iPad could not deal with a 10-page PDF. It was really sad.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah.
But, you know, like one thing you can do on the iPhone, just a bit of an iPhone trick here, I don't know if this is percolated down to Windows and Android, you can just double tap on any text block and it will magnify to that area. Which is very useful if the website isn't proper.
That's existed for a long time.
I know, but does it exist on Windows and Android?
It's existed for a long time.
Okay.
The only issue is that if you have a site where the ads are still loading and you're trying to read at something, then it bumps. Oh, ad load up. God damn it, gotta scroll back. Like, God damn. And they're like, oh, dude. Oh. That's when you realize the site sucks and you leave and go somewhere else.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, and tip out there to anyone developing websites. The entry to a website is always key. If you can't find the... What
you, Forbes?
If you can't give people what they want in probably under 15 seconds, you lose them to someone else. So that's just a bit of a tip to always try and hurry up along the ability to find stuff. So. I didn't think this was going to come this quick because initially we heard this along with the truthfulness ranking, which I hope doesn't come. Because that...
Aw, Fox News will be completely gone.
Not necessarily. I don't know. It just scares me.
What?
This whole thing.
Okay.
Ooh, spooky.
Yeah, this is what I was saying earlier with what I was going to mention, is that it just feels like Google is taking too much control. And, I mean, part of me wishes...
It's the liberal agenda!
Part of me wishes I could just, you know, go and find a web browser that wasn't tied into Google and the search engine that was as good as Google. Because I'm not...
Use Bing.
I feel like there's more useless results on Bing.
Have you used Bing?
Yeah, I did. I used it for a day and basically did some A-B comparisons with the search between them, and the Google results were far more useful.
I agree. When I'm at work, we got to use IE, and it's default to Bing, and I don't feel like going into the options to change it. I'll be searching for something, and Bing pops up with a whole bunch of useless junk. I go search to Google, and I find it within two clicks. I was like, thank God.
Another thing that's keeping me at Google is when you ask it for a question or something. Like, if I type in RuneScape Aquarium, it will give me information on this week's update and a little thing on the top. I mean...
Yeah, that is cool how they added that in.
Yeah.
Mm. Siri.
Not this again.
Google. Siri, Google is better. Ding! I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, like even if you search for like RuneScape or something like that, and RuneScape in the news, BTS, so Google does have that as an advantage. But now we're talking about Google versus Bing, but I just wish there was a less scary option.
So Shane, do you ever listen to the radio?
I don't.
No.
I don't.
Really?
No.
Hmm.
But
why?
Norway is shutting off its FM signals in 2017.
Whoa, wasn't that an amazing transition?
What was that again?
You missed it. Sorry.
I did a very beautiful transition into the next topic in tech news.
Thank you. Thank you. So what do you guys think? Should radio be digital or...
Isn't FM... supposed to be digital?
No.
Or is that... No, that's not how that works.
The only digital radio in the North America, I believe, is satellite radio.
Sirius.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there's just something about radio that goes back to an older time, and it can't be jammed as well as digital signals are. They don't degrade as fast. Granted, the quality is higher, providing you can get it, but if you don't get it, you just get rather than static. Whereas with static, at least you can partially hear through stuff, right?
Yeah.
And
I'm surprised that out of the three of us, I'm the only one who actually listens to the radio.
And
I listen to the radio.
You said no when I asked.
No, he said no. I said, "What did you say?" I didn't respond yes or no. Yeah, you can't get rid of radio. Can't be digitized because sad part is
I feel like radio in some form is going to be around for quite a while. I don't know about the infrastructure that Norway has in terms of all of that. Like, is there something that's supposed to supersede FM?
Yeah, it's called the DAB, which is basically digital audio broadcasting.
Okay, is that something that's really prevalent in Europe, but us over here in North America are like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah, because, I mean, they have more digital audio in Norway than they do FM at this point.
Okay. So this isn't really a big deal for them.
No, but I think that, you know, keeping radio to analog, I mean, you don't necessarily need too much power or technical things to transmit an analog signal. So, if we ever do end up...
I mean, you can literally use your body as... an antenna.
Yeah. So, I mean, if we ever end up in a situation where it's World War III and all the digital transmitters are knocked out, there's going to need to be some sort of analog transmission out there. So, I mean, people are going to have to get their news some way. So hopefully not everything is shutting down. But I hope we don't do this here.
Yeah. Oh, we can't really... Over here, you can't get our radios.
Yeah, I don't think that exists here. Let me see.
It doesn't.
Okay.
Not really.
Let's see. Countries using DAB. Yeah, Canada's very limited as well. Okay. Well, so now that tech news is done, let's talk about the skill of the month. First up, skill of the month for May will be thieving, a little bit different than previous months. Though currently for the prayer skill of the month, Tim is still in first place with 12.2 million XP gained so far. Second place is Arceus with 9.8, and third place is Undoer with 3.2 million who has flatlined.
Clear!
Hey, I'm in fourth!
Congratulations. You've also flatlined.
Yeah, I got 95 prayer, and that's all I needed. So
yeah, you don't need much else beyond that. Four extra prayer points ain't going to do you a whole lot.
No.
You guys think Tim's got this one in the bag?
Nope.
No? Why?
I don't know. Arceus has proved to be pretty sneaky in the past.
Yeah, and all looks like Tim needs to do is just stop for a couple days and they'll be caught up. So, better be careful, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's change gears a bit and talk about an Informer article from this week, shall we?
Okay.
All right.
This week, Lord Rickles published an amazing article on the Great Update Rate Debate. I like that. I like that title. Basically,
I rate 8 of 8.
Oh, that's great. There's another one. Why are we rhyming so much with this? I don't know. But anyways, it goes into the topic that was discussed last week on this podcast pertaining to Jagex's 20-question-long survey about update rate versus frequency and the previous Rune Labs poll. And Lord Rickles has come up with a pretty interesting idea about what's behind the whole idea, but I'm not going to spoil that because if I did, it would totally ruin the article. So you can find that at informer.rsbnb.com and read Rickles' article along with all the other great articles that we have published so far this month. Okey-dokey. Achievements of the week. Want to start reading?
Davo338 got 99 fishing on April 19th, 2015. Undoer got 99 defense on April 18th, 2015. Undoer got 99 summoning on April 18th, 2015. Undoer got 99 attack on April 17th, 2015.
Good job, everyone.
Woo!
Nice achievements. So many 99s coming in, so it's always nice to see and talk about them. Congratulations. Well,
summer's almost here.
So, Trekkie, this says Trekkie's random drawing.
Are you gonna,
what is that?
Yeah. Are you going to like squibble on a piece of paper and show us?
Squibble?
No, actually, so what happened was for Blizzard's Hero of the Storm, they gave me two keys to go into the closed beta.
Really? I got four.
Oh, well, I gave two of them away already. So anyway,
okay.
I don't really care for them. So anybody who wants them, first two people to PM me gets the code, gets the key. So that's it. So
yeah,
first two people to listen to this
them.
And
so yeah. If all you right,
PM
me,
you too, if you will.
And you can do that on the forums at rsbnb.com/forums. Give a bit of an overview of what this game is about.
I haven't the slightest idea.
It's Dota.
Oh.
It's the Blizzard version of Dota.
Oh, okay. I see.
Well, actually. No, actually, I'm right. Yeah. Well, it's the StarCraft version of Dota.
Ooh.
I would say that.
I wouldn't mind trying
but
that.
It's.
I am not playing a MOBA with you, Shane. Never, ever.
I've never played one. How do you know I'm not going to be good at it?
I'm not playing a MOBA with you. No.
No. Okay. Well, now that that's out of the way, I believe you want to share something with us.
I do?
No, Reed wants to share something with us.
Well, okay. You were specific.
I do.
What's up, Reed? Pick of the week?
Oh.
You missed okay. it twice. Share with the share. Anyways.
So, my pick of the week is Sharex. I may have... Did I use Z-Screen as a pick?
Brad before? Used Z-Screen before.
Okay. Well, this is the successor to that, I suppose?
Yes.
I can do a crop shot of any window with just shift print screen. I can just hit print screen and it'll do that, and it automatically uploads it to my file server at earth.rsbnb.com. And I can also do a key combination. I can copy a file and then do a key combination, and it'll upload that file to OneDrive and put the link in my clipboard.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it's very neat.
You couldn't do that with Z screen.
No, that's why I upgraded.
You know, if I used Windows more, I think this would be a good tool to have. Might actually be a good tool to have anyways, because I don't have any screenshotting tools on Windows.
Yep.
Very nice.
I use MS Paint.
Yeah, me too, actually.
What?
Yeah, I use MS Paint to crop my screenshots.
Wow, what is this, 2000... What are you on? Windows XP? Use the snipping tool, Shane. Come on.
I'm actually...
They literally added something in there called the snipping tool just for that purpose. You can take cropped screenshots.
Really?
I think that came out in Windows Vista.
That would explain why, because the last version of Windows XP I used as a power user was Windows XP. Okay. Anyways, you can get that at getsharex.com.
Yeah, it came out in Windows 7.
Ah, okay. Sounds good. Splendid. Very nice. Alrighty, what have we been up to? Let's start with you, Trekkie, since it's been the longest since we've seen you.
Oh, nothing much. I've been working like a slave. Managed to get 95 wood cutting recently. And I've been doing a lot of PlayerUnknown's ports. I'm trying to get a lot of cheese. I can make some of those weapons, some of those magical wands and offhand, so I can, you know, cast magic faster. Did some dungeoneering, and I did a Slayer test, which I got a Abyssal Wand, but the price of them had completely went to nil. It's like, oh well, still something. I am planning on finally forcing myself to, one, put on the, you know, shark outfit, dance like a teenage dream, and go some do some fishing, and possibly finally do some boss hunting.
Oh, someone should do that. Someone should get two people in shark outfits on RS, make them dance, and put it to that song. And then if you guys make that video, I'll have whoever makes that video on the show.
Oh, I didn't know you were that big of a Katy Perry fan, Shane.
Well, I'm not, but I just think it's a creative use of the shark suit.
California girls, right?
I don't know what that means. I'm not.
It's like her song along with E.T. and Teenage Dream.
Oh, okay. I see.
Don't you know anything about anything, Shane?
Nope, not pop music. Not pop music.
Read anything. If you ask him questions about anything technology or sci-fi, he'll probably get it, especially Star Trek. Anything of pop culture, he won't know Jack.
All right. Anything else, Trekkie?
No, that's it. Just working, saving right. away.
And you, Earth, what have you been up to?
I've not really had a free moment for the past 2 weeks. So yeah, it's been fun.
Yes.
I'm absolutely exhausted.
Well, you have taken some time out, you know, to watch hockey games and play hockey games in addition to...
Yeah, like, those are the... like, I had to force myself to take a break, but even in doing that, that was... I, like, still had something looming over me, right?
Yeah, I know how that is when you're heading in there, but you need to take that fatigue and turn it on its head and turn it into a force of good.
Can I go to bed?
Not quite yet. Not quite yet.
God damn it.
But Mom!
All right. For me, a bunch of RS stuff this week in addition to, you know, that great house designer issue that I mentioned, which you can find at rsbb.com/house, fully functional.
Nice plug!
Ready to take your housing designs in. This week on RS, I... breached 61 million farming XP. So that's nice.
Cool.
I also built a new outfit going back to an old classic, including the green elegant set, which I used to wear way back when in 2006.
Oh, God, do you still have that beret or whatever?
Yes, yes.
Oh, God.
What's wrong with it?
Ugh.
Yeah, I still wear it.
It's so Shane.
Yeah, well, I've always...
It's literally Shane.
I've always worn that, and the reasoning was is that Brad would wear the blue beret, and I'd wear the black one. So, that's why I do that. But in addition to that, I also finished all the port storylines, so that is completely done. So at this point...
Yay!
It's just a matter of upgrading the crews and getting everything to be finished and getting things that I want from it. So, yeah.
And doing the clues. You need to do the clue voyages.
Yeah, what do I get from doing those?
If you go higher up enough, you actually get some new missions out to get you other loot. And if you get to the point at the end point, supposedly you get those... random events, you get those items you can get from it. So instead of being random, you can actually have a choice of do I want this one or that one or whatever it is.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah. Actually, because I completed the storyline, I actually got two world bearing rings, which supposedly teleport me to some mysterious island to the east, but just like one use only, so I haven't tried it yet.
Mm. Wait, you got what?
World bearing ring.
Yeah, it's some high-end ports tool that can teleport you to some random island. And you can
loot it. There's a bunch of rewards there and whatnot, but it's like, yeah, wait.
Yeah, it seems like there's lots to explore there, so that's good.
Yeah, but I'm glad I finally figured out how to freaking use the map tables or whatnot.
Yeah, you did mention that in your question last week, and we are grateful for that, so that's good.
Yes.
Wait, what was it? I wasn't here.
The clues, if you look at the map in the bar, you can tell them which island to go to by looking at the map for the clues in Play Your Own Ports.
So if you go to Play Your Own Ports,
What the hell are you talking about?
Clue voyages.
Oh, I haven't gotten any of those yet.
Yeah, those are high up, but... they have the totems hotspots they can transform into whatever item. So if you change them to a map table, it actually tells you where you need to go if you get a clue voyage. And so if you have a clue voyage on that day and you click on it, it'll actually tell you the maps are pointing to here. And if you go talk to the adventurer in the bar, you can actually select that place and it'll actually go. What I found is, you know, if you don't get it, it's not the end. If you, you know, don't choose the right one, the listing, if you talk to the adventurer again, that option will disappear and it narrows down. But obviously, instead of doing it, you know, seven times to get to the right island, you may just do it once.
Interesting. Yeah, yeah. Well, there's a whole little ports thing. So, good. Alrighty, is there anything else before we bid farewell to the listeners and reconvene next week?
I got nothing.
I'm gonna go under the sea for a while.
I'm going to go to sleep.
All righty. Well, thank you for being here, everyone, for this edition of RSBNB Update. Hopefully you listeners out there have enjoyed it and found something useful. Remember, if you want to chat with me at any time, just add me, Shane12088 on RS. Or if you want to chat with our whole community, we do run the Friends Chat, Bits Bytes, all one word. You can come in there and have some good fun with everyone who's around, talk about what you're skilling, what you're doing, what you're fishing, that sort of thing. Yeah, see you next week.
Peace out.
Bye, everyone.